on the subject of signs of a spirit-filled layman. Signs of a spirit-filled layman. A lot of times when we think of the filling of the Holy Spirit, we think of the need for pastors to be filled with the Spirit, missionaries, evangelists. And we often pray to that end, and I thank God for all those that do pray. We certainly want to be a praying a church. And I was talking to somebody recently, and they said, you know, I used to go to a church, and the pastor just, he didn't pray. He didn't pray, and it just didn't seem like we got anything out of his ministry or his messages or anything. He did a lot of other things right professionally. He was like a professional pastor, but he didn't pray. It just didn't seem like anything ever happened. And we want to focus on prayer as a church. Oswald Chambers, he one time said, prayer does not prepare us. He said, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. And we ought not to attempt to do anything until we've prayed. I just want to take a moment and say thank you to the men that pray. We have some men that pray behind the scenes, and I know it's work. Prayer is hard work. But we have Aaron and Herb ministry, where men are praying while preaching's going on, and we thank God for you guys. And I can't tell you how important that is. But the Holy Spirit's filling is not just for those in the ministry. I want to look at a man in Acts chapter number 6 named Stephen who was filled with the Spirit as a layman. He was filled with the Spirit as a layman. Now by these terms, what I mean is nowadays we got this division where we call some people clergymen and other people laymen or lay women and so on and so forth. And I guess it's okay to make that differential. Sometimes we kind of put those in the ministry and we say, yeah, you know, let's pray for him. Pray for Pastor Cole or Pastor Seth that they'll be filled with the Spirit. And sometimes God does give us some opportunities. Maybe you don't have, sometimes we get to preach to dozens and dozens of people, maybe at funerals or weddings or other activities and so on. In church setting, we get to influence maybe more people than you get to on a one-on-one basis, and we need the prayers. But the Bible has told us of about five people that it specifically says in the Scriptures were full of the Holy Ghost, and that's a word that's not used very much in describing men in the New Testament. But once in a while, you'll come across a man, and it'll say he was full of the Holy Ghost, and such is the case of Stephen, who is a layman in the church. Let's read about him, and I want to make some points about evidences or signs of a Spirit-filled layman to encourage you laymen and you laywomen to realize that the filling of the Spirit of God is for you, and God can do great things through your life, even if you're not, quote, in the full-time ministry, unquote. Whatever that means, we're all in that. But God can use you, and God has given us a story of a little minor character in the New Testament called Stephen that shows us how God can use a Spirit-filled layman. And in those days, verse 1, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So there's a problem in the church. Every church has problems. Okay, as long as you got people, you got problems. And the Hebrew widows were being taken care of. The Gentile or Greek widows were being neglected. There was prejudice. There was partiality. There was racism in the first church. There's problems in churches. I say that all the time. Why? So people don't quit. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. This church had thousands of people coming to it and said, look, the Greek widows, they're not getting the food and the carnal needs of their lives met. And the 12 disciples that the Lord had ordained that they should be with them, including Matthias, who was later appointed to take Judas Iscariot's place. They said, it's not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. They weren't trying to act like they were better than anybody, but they came up with a solution, and that was for the church to care one for another. And they said, wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So it would be like saying today, look among the laymen in the church. Find some good laymen in the church. There's good laymen in the church. There's laymen in the church who are filled with the Spirit, filled with wisdom. They're men of honest report. They have an impeccable testimony. Laymen, good laymen are needed in every church. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, number one, there's seven of them, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. I want you to notice that Stephen was a layman in the church who was filled with the Holy Ghost. And this story is in the Bible so that we can learn from it that it's not just preachers that need to be filled with the Spirit, but laymen can be also. And it can be their reputation. As a layman, they said, that man's full of the Holy Ghost, and everybody in the congregation knows it. And they appointed him over their business. And I want to just take Stephen now, and I want to make some points about him. These evidences or signs of a Spirit-filled man. As a Spirit-filled layman in the church, what were some of the things that were evidences of him being Spirit-filled? Number one, he was available to do whatever job needed to be done. He was available to do whatever job needed to be done. That is a sign of a Spirit-filled layman. He just will do anything that needs to be done. You know what he ends up doing here initially? He ends up delivering groceries to widows. Whatever needs to be done, that's the sign, that's an evidence of a Spirit-filled man. He doesn't care what the job is, just let me get at it. It needs to be done. He didn't think of himself as too good for this. He didn't think of himself as above this. Whatever needed to be done, let me get down and dirty in the work of the Lord, and I'll do it. You know, every one of us is either full of sin, full of self, or full of the Spirit. Every one of us. It's one of the three. We that are full of sin need to take that out like the garbage bucket downstairs out to the dumpster and just empty that out and get that out of our lives. Empty ourselves of sin. I mean, our lives are running out. How much longer are we going to do this? How much longer are we going to waste in sin? What profit is that? We've got to empty ourselves of self. Selfishness, self-centeredness. We've got to take that garbage bucket of our life out to some dumpster somewhere and get rid of it and say, that's it. I've lived for self long enough. It's not worth it. It's empty. I'm getting rid of it. I'm not living for sin. I'm not living for self. And when God can find a man who's empty of sin and self, he can then fill that man with the Spirit. Now, how do I know if I'm filled with the Spirit? You don't mind doing anything for God. You don't mind doing anything for God, even delivering groceries to widows. When do I start? You don't mind getting upstairs and saying, the pastor says, you know, we need all this Rockwell insulation cleared out of it. This is a dirty job. This is a nasty job. This is a filthy job. And man, we had about eight men just go up there this week and just took up industrial garbage bags. There was no easy way to get it out. They just had to pick it up by hand, jam it into bags. They took out probably over 100 bags this week of that stuff and all kinds of other garbage and so on and so forth. Some of you volunteered, but we didn't need you. Thank you. Thank you. Some of you would have helped if you were asked. But these men got up there, cleared it out. It took them two straight nights just to get the garbage out and two more nights to put insulation in upstairs, R30, R60, all over the place. This thing is buttoned up tighter than it's ever been. I thank the Lord for people that have that attitude. It says John the Baptist was a Spirit-filled man. And you know what he said? He said, I am not worthy to carry Christ's shoes. I am not worthy, he said on another case, to just kneel down before Jesus Christ and tie up his shoes. He said, I'm not even worthy to do that. See, that's the evidence of a Spirit-filled man. He's worthy to do anything, any job that arises, whatever it might be. If it's for God, I want to do it. And then a Spirit-filled man, number two, is a channel for the mighty working of God. It says in verse number 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. He did great wonders and miracles among the people. Doesn't tell us once what they were. We don't know. He's just a layman in the church, but he's a Spirit-filled man, willing to do anything that the Lord asked him to do, taking care of groceries, taking them to widows, but it also said he was full of faith and power, and he did great wonders and miracles among the people. Things happened in Stephen's life that could not be explained except by the supernatural. This was a man who was seeing miracles done. This was a man who was seeing his prayers being answered. He wasn't some man in the ministry or in the pulpit. He was among the congregation, but people saw the mighty working of God in his life as a layman. The mighty working of God. He was a channel for God to do great things through him. And then number three, he was a man of the Scriptures. He was a man of the Scriptures. In verse 9 it says, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Notice Stephen was a man of the Scriptures. And he's got all these wise guys show up who didn't like what he was teaching and so on. And they came from all these synagogues and they were disputing with Stephen. And as they disputed with him, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. See, he not only had the wisdom, but he had the right spirit. We've got to be careful sometimes. As fundamentalist Christians, sometimes we'll have the wisdom, but the wrong spirit. And will turn somebody off. But he had the right spirit about him. He was a man of the Scriptures. When a man is filled with the Holy Spirit, he is a man of the Word. He can't get away from this book. The Holy Spirit constantly leads him or her to have a relationship with the Bible. They read it, and they read it, and they read it, and they study it, and they meditate on it, and it's the first thing in the morning, and it's the last thing at night, and it's something they think about all day long. That is an evidence of a Spirit-filled man or a woman. They're a man or a woman of the Word. When a person truly is filled with the Spirit. And here's this layman, and all these educated religionists come, and they're not able to resist his wisdom or the Spirit by which he spake. And then I want you to notice a Spirit-filled man reacts gracefully. Layman reacts gracefully under provocation. It's not only his actions, but also his reactions that are correct. In verse 11 it says, then they stubborn men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came unto him and caught him and brought him to the council. And set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. Now notice verse 15, we see a picture of Stephen. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. I want you to notice that he responds gracefully under provocation. Now please do not think for a minute that if you or I, as men or ladies, are spirit-filled, that that assures some kind of a smooth passageway to heaven. No, because he was spirit-filled, everything started going wrong. This world became opposed to him. This world began to lie about him. This world began to accuse him of being a blasphemer, of being against religion, of saying wrong things about Jesus and so on. Please don't ever, you can't find a spirit-filled man in the Bible, but that things, people began to oppose him, oppose her, I'm sure. We will be insulted, we'll be hated, we'll be injured, we'll be hurt, maybe even intentionally. They will provoke. But he is sustained in his hour of adversity by the very presence of the Lord. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it has been the face of an angel. We need to be careful as spirit-filled men and women about not only our actions, but our reactions. Our reactions to adversity. Now talk about a man of the scriptures in chapter number 7. If you'll notice Acts chapter 7 for a moment, it has 60 verses in it. It's the longest chapter in all of the book of Acts. And basically what it is Stephen reciting from memory the history of Israel. And all the events, you know, from Moses all up through all these prophets and Jacob and so on and so forth. And he's just standing up here before the council and he says, men and brethren, let me tell you about all this and why this whole Old Testament history came about. And he begins to it just begins to flow out of his mouth. The word of God and the history of God's people. It's an amazing thing. We're talking about a layman here. We're not talking about some bishop or elder or pastor or evangelist or missionary. We're talking about a layman here brought before the council. And the scriptures just flow and the Bible stories just flow out of his mouth. Brethren, as we said earlier, when we are filled with the Spirit, we become men and women of the scriptures. We read it over and oh, we can't get enough of it. And it begins to flow. Jesus one time said, that those that are filled with the Spirit out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's just going to flow from us. And he begins to quote the history and so on, and it's just a great, great chapter. If you want to get the Old Testament in a nutshell, what it's about, without reading the whole thing, read Acts chapter 7 sometimes. And this brings me to his conclusion. When they had heard these things in verse 54, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. What an invitation. We have invitations around here, too. Well, that hasn't happened yet here. But he gets to the end of his sermon, 54 verses of preaching, and here comes the invitation. They're all coming forward. but they're not coming forward to get right with God. It says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, here it is again, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And I want you to notice his response here. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. Now he says something just before he dies I want you to notice. Remember, he's full of the Holy Ghost right here. He says these words, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Where do you think he got that idea from? Where do you ever come up with a thought like that while people are throwing stones and rocks at him, killing him? Where would such a thought like that come into his mind to respond that way? Anybody want to? On the cross. When Jesus is nailed to the cross, the very first words out of his mouth were what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, a spirit-filled man, number six, is like his Lord and Master. I skipped number five. He has a burden for souls. He has a burden for souls. He's trying to get them to trust in Christ as their Savior. And his whole message there, that was point number five. A spirit-filled man has a burden for souls. He's sharing the word with the hopes that people will come to know Christ as their Savior. Did he get any fruit out of this day? Did he get any fruit out of this thing, or did he just get stoned to death? And boy, a tough break for Stephen. What an end, huh? Saul. The Lord specifically takes a moment in his word and tells us a little fact about this story in verse 58. They cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Saul's name later after his conversion would be what? Paul. And Paul would write how many books of the New Testament? 14 books of the New Testament, from Romans to Hebrews and everything else in between. Was that worth it? Later on, Paul, in his testimony, would say how much Stephen's testimony affected him. Boy, that'd be something if a layman was filled with the Spirit. And wouldn't it be nice if you, as a layman or a laywoman, influenced one person that might become a champion for Christ like the Apostle Paul? See, this is God using a layman here today. God influences Saul, and Saul later would say, I was really affected by that. When I saw the glory of God on Stephen as he's being stoned to death, and I see him bleeding, and his head's getting crushed in, and his ribs and everything else, and he's saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, and he kneels down, and the last thing I hear him say is, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I think Paul got to start thinking, man, whatever this guy has got, it's real. Whatever he's got, it's real. It's not only real and good enough for life, it's good enough for death. To know Christ. To have the help of the Holy Ghost. And that brings me to number six. A spirit-filled layman is like his Lord and Master. He's like his Lord and Master. He says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge, because somewhere maybe Stephen saw the crucifixion of Christ or heard about the crucifixion of Christ, and someone told Stephen, you know, when Jesus was being crucified, he said, Father, forgive them. He said, forgive them to those that hurt him the most. Can you say, forgive them to those that have hurt you the most in your past? Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I can't say that. I'm not to the point yet in my spiritual development and growth where I can let go of my past and forgive somebody. You know what you need today? You need to be filled with the Spirit. You need to be filled with the Spirit. I don't know if it was your father. I don't know if it was your mother. I don't know if it was your husband that left you or your wife that left you or what you went through or somebody abused you or something. I know that some of you have been through some horrific times, but none of us have ever been crucified and none of us have ever been stoned to death. And we have these stories of Spirit-filled men. Remember, Jesus, when he died, it says, by the grace of God, he tasted death for every man, and he offered himself up by the eternal Spirit of God. The Spirit of God helped Jesus through the crucifixion. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, what in the world is it that I need to set me free from my past and from those that have hurt me in the past? The Bible says if you'll be filled with the Spirit, you can be like your Lord and Master who forgave us when we did him wrong. And then I want to say last of all, a Spirit-filled layman is lamented when he dies. A Spirit-filled layman is lamented when he dies. In chapter 7, verse 60, we see that Stephen falls asleep at the end. That means he dies. And Saul is going crazy through Jerusalem, between Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and up to Damascus. And he's making havoc of the church in verse number 3. But in verse 2 it says this, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. I've always said to people, we ought to live in such a way that we'll have a big funeral someday. And a great lamentation was made for Stephen, a layman in the church, who was a spirit-filled man. There was once a songwriter, a layman in the church named Philip Bliss. If you pick up a songbook, whether a blue one or a red one, and start flipping through it, you're going to see his name all over it. He wrote just dozens and dozens of Christian songs. And he died in a train wreck at the age of 38 over here in Ashtabula, Ohio. And he died with about several hundred other people. He somehow was able to escape the train, but his wife was in the train. The train was burning. He went back in to save her life, and he perished in the fire. He wrote some of our most beautiful gospel hymns, and you can read them in your songbook. Here's a simple one. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing. When in his beauty I see the great King, then shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. Everybody in the fire perished from the train crash, and they couldn't recognize the bodies back in the 1800s, and so they put them all in a common grave over there in Ashtabula, Ohio, where he's buried today. But in his luggage in the train, they found a poem that he had just written, and somehow the luggage survived the fire. And this is the poem that was found in the luggage the day he died. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. I will tell the wondrous story how my lost estate to save. In his boundless love and mercy he the ransom freely gave. I will praise my dear Redeemer. His triumphant power I'll tell. How the victory he giveth over sin, death, and hell. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God, with him to be. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. And boy, just thousands and thousands of millions of Christians since that time, he never heard this poem that he wrote, put to music by James McGranahan. But oh, how we sing it in churches to this day. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me on the cross. He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, made me free. Philip Bliss loved the Lord. He was a layman. And he would go around and he would sing and write poems and songs. And at his funeral, 12,000 people showed up to honor a 38-year-old layman who loved the Lord and was filled with the Spirit. I say to you, number 7, a Spirit-filled layman is lamented when he dies. Great lamentation was made for Stephen. The message this morning is simply this. The filling of the Spirit is not just for preachers or pastors or missionaries or evangelists. God has given us a story for laymen in the Scriptures called Stephen. And let me review as we pray. Number 1, a Spirit-filled layman is available to do whatever the Lord asks him to do. Whatever needs to be done, I'll do it. Got to cut the grass around the church. Someone's got to clean the toilet. Someone's got to get the insulation out of the attic and the new stuff down. Somebody's got to wash the buses. Somebody's got to take out the trash. The Spirit-filled man says, I'll do that. I'd be glad to do that. How can I help? Set up tables, set up chairs, take down tables, take down chairs. It never ends. I'll do it. The Spirit-filled man doesn't care. The Spirit-filled man is a channel for God to do mighty works. We don't know what miracles were wrought by Stephen, but the Bible says God did miracles through him. Spirit-filled men are mighty in the Scriptures. Stephen just knew the scriptures and they just flowed out of his mouth when he was challenged for his faith. He reacted gracefully under provocation. He had a burden for souls. He wanted to see people saved. And so he shared the gospel and he gave an invitation. And they didn't respond well to his invitation. They stoned him to death, but he called upon the Lord. And in his death, he showed that he was just like the Lord. He said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." He said, "I don't know. I can't pray to dissolve or absolve anyone else's sins or what they've else done. But as for this sin against me, Lord, please don't put this on their account. Please, Lord, don't charge them with what they did to me." And none of us have a power to absolve anyone else of their sins. Amen. Who can forgive sins but God? Don't believe these religions where they say they have the power to absolve your sins. They don't. Only God can. But you can go to God for the people that have sinned against you and say, "Lord, would you please forgive them and don't charge them with this, please." They got others they're going to have to answer for on the judgment, but don't charge them with what they did for me. Do you have that spirit towards those that hurt you? Boy, that sure helped me. There was a person who really hurt me growing up a lot, and it had bred a lot of bitterness and hatred. I mean, deep-rooted hatred in me. There came a time when I had to deal with it. I said, "It's too much for me, Lord. God, help me." And God's Holy Spirit was able to set me free from that and go on and do something at least a little bit productive with my life for the Lord. How about your past? Are you struggling forgiving somebody? Why not be filled with the Spirit? And then a Spirit-filled layman is lamented when he dies. They made great lamentation. They were just weeping and wailing because of Stephen's death. What a loss it was to the church. But what a gain to heaven. And what a gain the church made by Saul seeing his testimony and becoming the great apostle Paul that he was. Before you can be filled with the Spirit, you've got to be indwelled with the Spirit. You need to be saved. Anybody outside of Christ does not have the indwelling Spirit. Romans 8, verse 9, it says, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." He doesn't belong to the Lord. You need to be saved. You need to be indwelled with the Spirit first. That comes at salvation. And then after you're indwelled with the Spirit, you need to be filled with the Spirit. We've got to work as Christians getting the sin out of our life. It's not worth it. Sin's not worth it. Have you noticed that yet in your life? Sin's not worth it. Living for self's not worth it. But if we can empty ourselves of those by God's grace, God will fill us with the Spirit and do great things through us. I hope you have a desire for God to do great things through you. We only got a little bit of life left, all of us, just a little bit more left. Let's use it for God. I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer and just think about these things today. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless our invitation song now as we sing. We pray, Lord, for souls to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There's some here today who are lost. They've never yet accepted Christ as Savior. They maybe have religion or church or good works, but they don't have a Savior. And they're going to face you someday, not as their Savior, but as their judge. And thy word says every mouth will be stopped on that day and all the world will become guilty before God. Lord, help us to come as guilty sinners. Trust Christ as our Savior today. And Lord, those of us that are saved, so often we get filled up with sin, filled up with ourselves. And we're not living the Spirit-filled life. We've seen today, Lord, it's not just for preachers or ministers, it's for lay people, lay men, lay women. I think of Elizabeth, that woman in Luke 1 and 2 who was filled with the Spirit. Women can be filled with the Spirit. God, this is what we need in this dark hour. Spirit-filled men and women, revive us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.